at Gillette Stadium for the first Patriots Monday of the regular season, and Gerard Mayo will join us on the show this morning. A little programming update. I think he deserves an extra hour of sleep after that win yesterday, so Gerard Mayo will now join us at 9 here this morning. And Wiggy, on behalf of everybody who got bounced from a survivor's pool like you and Rich Keefe and Andy Hart, you can take that out on Coach when he gets here at 9 this morning. So,
good for that. I mean, I'm a Pats fan. I want to see
Survivor pool would tell otherwise.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not gonna be a homer and go, oh, they should be able to beat Cincinnati, because I didn't see that one coming. But listen, I think that Mayo is going to do a good job with this team. My biggest thing now moving forward, and I think it's like most Patriots fans, we want to see Drake May out there. We want to see what he can do, especially now that it looks like the defense is going to be good. They can run the football. And that's where I'm at with this season right now, is when do I see him? And when I see him, now I'll be able to start judging him on his performance.
But, you know, he was on this show talking about, I think, about essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but promises made to Jacoby Brissett or whatever. If this team keeps winning with Jacoby Brissett, can you go to him and say, hey, we're starting Drake May this week? Or do you have to wait until Jacoby Brissett is hurt to do that?
I think that they've been steadfast in whatever the plan was, and I don't think they're going to tell us the plan before it's executed. But if Jacoby Brissett doesn't make mistakes and the team is winning games, they'd be foolish to get rid. I mean, Drake
so
May
you
is
don't
21.
See Drake May. So if they keep winning games, you don't see Drake May this entire season.
If every game looks like the one they just played,
yeah,
I mean, the entire season, I'm not sure.
No,
probably
because
not.
Why would they, if they're winning this season and the record's looking pretty good, why would they take him out, put Drake May in? Because we're all very hopeful that Drake May is going to be great. But what, you want to jeopardize a whole season just to get him out there?
Well, I think that it depends on what is winning look like. Like
winning's winning.
Well, but it means if you're sitting there, and we have to look, and we broke down their schedule for like the first 6 weeks, you're able to beat Seattle, and then for some reason you're able to beat the Jets. Then I think you're riding with Jacoby Brissett, and you're like, all right, once we get to a point where it almost looks like, all right, it's going to be difficult for us to make the playoffs, then that's when you got to go with Drake May. So that's what it ultimately will come down to. But
they did say pregame that they wanted the offensive line to be in a better position. I think that was, Sean, you might know this, you were on the air then. I think it was Rap Sheet who said that the Patriots are playing Brissett until they know the line is capable of protecting the future in Drake May. If the line keeps looking like it looked yesterday, then by their own metric, he would get in there sooner.
But if Jacoby's not jeopardizing a game, then I don't think you take him out. Because what if Drake May goes in and it takes him a bit to get comfortable, and then all of a sudden you're losing games? Then you're going to go back to Jacoby. That's when you're going to start messing with Drake May's head. Drake May is even keel right now. He doesn't seem to have the same mental challenges when it comes to the game as someone like Mac Jones had. No. So do you want to really put him in there if they're winning?
Oh, let me ask this question then, because we keep saying if they're winning, like they're realistically going to run the table.
Well, no.
Let's put it in.
No, nobody's saying that.
No, but let's put it in perspective. Let's say they beat Seattle, because there are people that say they could beat Seattle.
I'm going to take it right now, Survivor Pool Patriots this Sunday.
You are?
Yep.
Okay. So let's say they beat Seattle, and then, you know, just for the sake of the conversation, they're at New York and then they're at San Francisco.
2-2.
2-2. You're going into 2-2. Now it's week 5, Miami at home.
Drake May.
Yeah.
That's
2-2. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But that's still kind of winning. And Jacoby Brissett, let's say he doesn't like play great in those games that he loses, but he just is, you know, doesn't turn the football over. You just lose to the Jets and you lose to San Fran. Are you still saying let's take out Brissett and put in Drake May? You know, because that's winning where you're at 500, but you're not losing so bad where you instantly got to say we got to get the rookie in. I think that if that's the case, you play Drake May. I'm with Curtis. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the realistic point of winning. If they're 4-0, then I'm obviously not going to take Jacoby Brissett out.
And I think, unlike last year where you had whiplash, where Mac would be in, then pulled, and then Mac would start, and then he would be pulled. And I think when they make the decision, obviously absent injury, that it will be Drake May. Like, I think that if they're 2-2 and they struggle a bit in at the Jets and at the 49ers, that Brissett will be the backup for the remainder of the season, and Drake May will be the starter. You're not going to see musical chairs at the quarterback position.
Well, it's a good spot to be in. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were many who expected that they would win this game week one. So.
No.
We will talk with Gerard Mayo about all of these things coming up at 9. We'll get to Courtney and the news at 7:45, and then we will be joined, because it is a Patriots Monday, by Boomer Esiason at 8:20 on this morning's show. But right now, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Chime, where do you want to start this Monday morning?
Well, Greg, we've mentioned it a few times this morning, so let's start with Tyreek Hill. He was detained by police outside of Hard Rock Stadium yesterday morning, and this is what Tyreek Hill said after the game, after his excellent game against the Jaguars, about his incident with the police.
Everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know, so I want to be able to, you know, use this platform, you know, to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and, you know, do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro. Like, you guys are here to, like, protect us as individuals, and you know, I have a platform, and I want to be able to team up with you guys, so that's all I got to say, so.
Eric, why do you believe the police put you in handcuffs?
I have no idea, for real. No idea, man. It's crazy. No idea. It wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way. Didn't cuss. Didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
They thought he was playing in a PGA Tour event.
Another RoboCop, just like the Scottie Scheffler thing.
It is crazy. Like, a speeding ticket or a violation and then a suspended license. Like, to be pinned on the ground like that, and he's saying that it didn't get back and forth, it wasn't...
It's the RoboCops. It's the RoboCops. Even like with the Scottie Scheffler situation. All right. And even Tyreek Hill. You shouldn't be speeding. You shouldn't be doing things.
Reckless driving.
Right. Whatever it is, right?
And he doesn't have a license.
Right. So you shouldn't be doing those things. Then cop comes up. Okay, here's why we pulled you over. Here's the situation. Same with the Scottie Scheffler. Here's your ticket. If you have a suspended license and you're that much of a hoddle and you don't want him driving, then you say, listen, we're going to tow your vehicle. You're going to have somebody come pick it up or whatever, and just move on about the day. But you get these RoboCops that all of a sudden they want to, you know, and there's a few out there that want to make a name for themselves. And then this is the situation you see. You see Scottie Scheffler get arrested and then let out. Then you see Tyreek Hill get obviously put to the ground and detained, like seriously, for a speeding ticket, a reckless driving. But that's, like he said, there are always going to be those bad apple hoddles that come up and they're going to, you know, give you this attitude. And you just got to be careful in those situations. You know, the same way I tell my kids, I say, try to be as polite as you can and give them whatever information they need, but there's always...
Should have done the Gilbert Gottfried, what was that movie?
Which one?
With Eddie Murphy, the police film, what was that called?
48 Hours?
No.
Beverly Hills Cop?
Beverly Hills Cop, where Gilbert Gottfried is like, I have these tickets here. I have 50-yard line tickets in my hand. They could end up in your hand.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
I could see that.
Throw him a couple tickets to the game, for crying out loud.
I bet he probably would have done that.
Doesn't he have a football, an autograph, an 8x10 that he can autograph in the back like you do always?
Clearly, it seemed like those cops, because it is Florida, they could have been Jacksonville Jaguar fans, who the hell knows.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go back to the New England Patriots game, because Devon Godshaw, after the game, talked about how the Patriots were underdogs and decided to just take a shot at the PFF nerds. Here was Devon Godshaw.
To come in here as a, believe, 8.5-point underdog.
Disrespectful. Yeah, what? Very disrespectful. But, you know, I get, that's the people who, the PFF, the people who
don't know much about football. They're going to grade. They're going to say, hey, the Patriots are going to be 8.5-point favorite. I mean, underdogs. And that's why you still have to play the game. You know, no matter what somebody say, the game still has to be played in between the white lines. You know, so we don't really take that personal. It is what it is. Nobody's giving us a chance. And after we string a couple wins, I still want everybody to stay on that side and, you know, keep us underdogs because we love to be there. So, you know, we watch the film and we'll move on Cincinnati next week.
What does it mean?
Seahawks next week.
I mean, clearly Gerard Mayo was able to get these guys to use that to their advantage, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a quiet confidence, and it didn't feel like any of them were shocked, which was, I think, one of the better sort of takeaways from yesterday, was that the players thought they were going to go out there and play like that. I don't know if the offense expected to have the performance they did. The offensive line, maybe in behind closed doors, they've been great, but that defense had an edge, and it was just... I kept waiting for Burrow to finally go off. Like, it just felt like they were... The Bengals were eventually going to try and figure it out, and they never did.
The defense looks like what we've seen from the defense for, you know, I don't know, the last 3-4 years, however long it's been, that the defense has gone out there and basically carried this football team. I mean, we talked about it last year, the year before that, even in Mac Jones, his rookie year, when I was like, you're a passenger because your defense is playing this well. They're creating turnovers. So if the defense can continue to do that, then that means even if the Patriots lose games, and we saw this, and I think Bill talked about that, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, they're always going to be in games. They're always going to be close enough to striking distance where if the offense can just put it together.
If the offense doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, then you're going to be okay. Like, the offense was historically awful last couple of years. If it's just okay, which is, they weren't great offensively. I mean, we're celebrating it because they didn't make mistakes, but the defense is good enough that if the offense is just competent,
you're going to be in the game.
You're going to be in game.
Yeah, you might not win it, but you're going to be in striking distance.
And, Wiggy, you look at the head coach and his first game in the regular season doing that. We talked a lot about the Bill advantage, the in-game Bill advantage. Did you see anything from Gerard Mayo that made you question how he's going to do this season?
No, because I think he did everything well. There weren't any, like, crazy situations where you have to think, like, all right, it's fourth and short. What are we doing in this situation? I think defensively you kind of see them. They're bringing a little bit of pressure with DeMarcus Covington. So, you know, that's something that you probably, Gerard, has a hand in as well. But I think
they really miss Steven calling those defensive plays, I'll tell you that.
I think just as far as the whole execution and the whole what was the word we were using? Just the way the system was operated with Gerard Mayo.
The operation.
He's been good throughout the preseason. He's been good for game one. No major mistakes, you know, no delay of game penalties, things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought they would be more disciplined under Mayo than they were under Bill? But, well, through week one, they are.
Doing a very good job.
You can't do this all season. Yeah.
I cannot wait.
It's coming.
But that's so crazy to me, is it's like you saw when Tom left, and yet you're being fooled again. Like, you thought it was Bill. It wasn't. It's okay.
Some of it was. It's okay to admit some of it was Bill Belichick.
Right. Some of it yesterday was the kicker, Sandy Lyle, whatever his name was. But in the end, it's okay between the two. Like, don't be fooled again. It's all right. I mean, the rest of the NFL had a chance to hire him. Mm-hmm. They said no. Yesterday, you saw a guy in his first head coaching opportunity at any level look calm, look poised, and got all those guys to play their asses off for him.
It's just another way to do it, I think. And
some of that is probably his mentor, Bill Belichick, guiding him.
Yeah,
right. So that I credit Parcells because he taught Bill.
But that was a Belichick game plan. It's like the Bill, it's just another way to do it, right? Mayo's doing it a different way.
That resonates with this player.
Yeah, and did it work for Bill? In the beginning, it did. Max rookie year, but then once you start losing, then that starts to rub players the wrong way, where you're such a drill sergeant type of coach. You're on guys that, like, that starts to rub guys the wrong, especially the new player.
It didn't rub you the wrong way.
The new players, they don't have this maybe the same type of kind of like you're always being coach on your back. There was no social media, so that wasn't something that guys had to deal with back in my day. So new players, there you have to handle them with kid's glove a little bit. And like you, we just heard the Godchild, right?
Yeah.
He has a YouTube channel where he was interviewing the coach.
Yeah.
That's different than when I played. I couldn't imagine me having a YouTube channel sit down with Bill Parcells.
I also think the difference, if they were in that close of a game last season, they lose that game. Because I just think that the players would lose steam by the end of it, every single one that we saw last season. And it was because they were almost frustrated with the coaches.
But see, I would disagree with you on that.
Because
remember
the
Jets game? Remember the Jets game that they played the last game of the season, the Cam Newton year, where they were out of it?
Yeah, the Cam Newton year.
No, but the morale with the players, they were still excited.
You're talking 3 years ago now. Like, I know Cam Newton seems like...
2 years ago. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? Was it 3 years ago? All right, whatever it is. But all I'm saying, I think the building starts to waver after last year and the year before, and that's the difference. And you have to understand that these players are different. It's social media, like I talked about. Nowadays,
evolve or die.
Right, and that's why I think he's starting to evolve. Think about, you have another podcast with David Andrews and Brian Hoyer.
A quarterback
during the season, like these are things that have changed, and players are saying, "Hey, we want to be able to do this so we can build our brands."
Yeah. Brian Hoyer, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns,
and Mayo allows them to do that because as a former player, he just is like, "All
right, it's different," and it worked week one. Absolutely.
Yeah, it did.
Absolutely.
Hey, Bills failed the last three.
All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, the Patriots weren't the only reason that Curtis and Courtney were buzzing this weekend. Their BC Eagles, now ranked 24th in the nation, got the win over Duquesne. Here was Bill O'Brien after the game being asked about showing FBS teams crushing FCS teams to his team before the game. Here was the exchange with the reporter.
On the TV broadcast, they mentioned that you showed clips of FBS teams beating FCS teams pretty handedly.
I never showed one clip.
Okay, yes.
Not one time. I don't know what where they got that from. They didn't get it from me.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, you'll always get the truth from me.
No, that's why I wanted to ask.
Guys about FBS.
They said that on the TV.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know the difference between FBS, FCS, NCIS, CIA. I have no idea. I just know that Duquesne is a tough football team, and we had to be ready to play them. And I never showed one clip of any of that. Never.
That was great.
Yeah.
BC
so
started out briefly sluggish and then absolutely pummeled them the way they should have. And I believe
big test this weekend, though. And Wiggy has me confident but not overconfident. You said that they just need to hang in there.
Yeah.
They don't need to win. They just need to play tough.
Yeah, they got Mizzou.
Yeah, Mizzou's going to be tough.
I think game day is going to be at Mizzou for the BC game, which is pretty wild. Week three, they're going to be, I think, 12:45 kick for BC Eagles.
And same thing with the culture, right? Because you look at Billy O, he probably has a little bit more of the Belichick way of coaching, but these players are kind of probably like getting used to that and everything. And when you start to win with a guy like Bill – it's not that bad, but when you lose,
we will talk to Bill O'Brien this Thursday. He is on this show every Thursday throughout the football season at 6:45. Anything else, Shine?
That'll do it for They Said It today, Greg.
All right, excellent. We are at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Gerard Mayo coming up at 9. Before that, though, we will get to Courtney and today's news next. And then at 8:20, we will talk week one with Boomer Esiason, all coming up on today's Patriots Monday here at Gillette Stadium on WEEI.